This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I was just thinking, there's probably somebody out there who listens to this show who writes music and makes music and sings songs and has one about animals. If you got one like that, send it to us. We'll play it. Maybe have you on as a guest to talk about what inspired you to write this great song about your dog or your cat or your horse or your guinea pig or maybe all of the above. Deb@PetLifeRadio.com. You can also send me your pet questions, comments, guest suggestions, anything like that. Why does my dog do this? Why won't my cat do that? All that kind of stuff. Okay, so today's riddle of the day is, what big production, very famous play, had its final scene interrupted by an unexpected animal actor? Where and when and what was that? Do you know? Do you know what happened? It's pretty cool. All right, so we'll talk about that later in the show. And we're going to talk some more about bears, because 230 bear attacks have happened in the last year in Japan. Yeah, last week, a 6-year-old working man was attacked and hurt and ran into the factory to hide from the bears. And around the corner from there, an 8-year-old woman who was passing by in the neighborhood got attacked. A Jeep had to chase the bear so that people could get into the building. And this is a problem worldwide. I think about bears here. I was watching the footage of the Japanese bears and I thought, well, those are kind of tiny. Japanese black bears are normally between 90 pounds and 360 pounds. So 360 pounds, that's fairly large. So to give you an idea, I'm going to run through the bear world here. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Okay. They're not all the same. So in Florida, where my mom used to be, they had small bears there too. I remember noticing that. So you go on an Everglades tour or something, or you look at some place where they're rehabilitating one that was injured, and they look small to me because I'm used to Canadian bears. Yeah. We got them big up here. So, okay, in Florida, they're 250 to 350 pounds. So I guess the biggest Japanese bear would compare, but the average Japanese bear is somewhere closer to 200, which would be smaller than the smallest Florida bear. Okay. And then we have the Canadian bear, where they're big guys. The biggest ones are 600 pounds. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big bear. The giant panda only gets its 160 to 350 pounds. And some people think, oh, well, they're so cute and they're vegetarian, they eat bamboo, let's get close. No, no, they're still bears, everybody. Yeah, they're still bears. Okay, grizzlies, even bigger. Now, the grizzlies start at 300 pounds. So those are the really tiny ones. And they go up to 800 pounds. So that's quite a bit bigger, right? Mm-hmm. And then the polar bear, the biggest, is 700 to 1,500 pounds, which is interestingly similar to a dairy cow, which I would not be afraid of, or a saltwater alligator, which I would be afraid of. So these are some of the bigger animals in the world that you got to watch out for. Now, there's a rule called Birdman's Rule, which is established in nature, kind of like Darwin, which basically said, the colder the place, the bigger the animal. The smaller the place, the smaller the animal. And it has to do with heat and cold and conserving energy. But it seems to always be correct. So that's why the bears are bigger in Canada and smaller in Florida. All right. We got to talk about some bear safety while we're on the topic of bears. So I saw a sign the other day and it said, you are in bear country. And there's a big picture of a bear. And then it said, notify authorities for all bear conflicts, notify authorities. And it gave this 1-800 number. And then it said underneath it, bear sightings are not bear conflicts. So in other words, don't call them every time you see a bear. That's not what they want. When they say conflict, they mean the bear took your food, the bear hurt you, the bear scared you, the bear followed you, the bear harassed you, the bear damaged something, something destructive the bear did. not just that there was a bear. So they're getting a lot of calls like that that they'd really like to discourage because they're busy trying to deal with the real calls. So the problem with the bears most of the time is food. And if you hike in a group and you're loud, you can sing as you hike, you could talk as you hike, you can play some kind of music or a podcast or something that's audible, that will help. They don't really want to meet you. They don't. So keep your dog on a leash. You don't want your dog to encounter the bear, bark at it, and run back to you, which most untrained dogs will do. They'll do exactly that. And then the bear follows them because it has a very strong prey drive to chase running things. So you don't want to be that running thing, and you don't want your dog to run back to you. Be really aware of your surroundings. And that means watch for fresh scat. And I have posted pictures of fresh scat before. It's on my website. It's on Facebook, Deb Wolf Pet Expert on there. What does scat look like? Well, you might think it would look like doggy poop, only bigger, maybe doggy poop or cat poop, only way, way bigger. No, it doesn't. It's similar to bird seed in a way. It looks like a pile, and it's usually where we live, because of what the bears eat, which is a lot of berries, it's often black, and it's usually very dark, and it's usually in a mound, sort of like a cow patty, not like horse dung, which is all little balls, or goat pellets, which are hard, or rabbit pellets, not like that. It's like a squishy pile of something, and usually there's stuff in it, like seeds, nuts, little thing, bones, just weird stuff poking out, so it's like a circular pile of black stuff that looks kind of like birdseed and mush. And I can post more pictures of that, even though it's not the best photograph. It doesn't send me on a journey that I like. But it's probably important because when you see fresh scat, you know there's a bear around. And if you have a dog, he'll probably roll in it, which is absolutely disgusting. It is so hard to get off them. But that's a good sign. That's what it is. And you definitely want to get your dog on leash and be loud and walk in groups. And children are an issue with cougars. So you never want to have a child who's smaller than an adult. So that can be an adolescent even, walking too far away from the group. And that's what adolescents like to do, right? Like they wander ahead and they hike up, especially if they're very fit, fitter than the rest of the group. They want to forge ahead. That's not a good idea. I would suggest leash the dog and put the dog with them at the very least, or make two of them walk together because with the dog on a leash. Because you definitely don't want one from your group to be perceived by an animal above as easy to pick off or take away. So that's key. But we're not talking about cougars today. We're talking about bears. So I'm going to stay on the topic of bears. If you see a bear, remain calm. Do not run. Now, I know there's that joke. All you got to do is run faster than the next guy. Still, don't run. Don't run. Stay still. If the bear sees you, talk to it in a very low, calm voice and take a step or two backwards. So you don't want to sound like a high-pitched, panicky animal. No, you want to sound like you got some weight to you, right? Use your baritone and tell it, it's okay, I'm okay, as you back up. Okay, so always carry bear spray. And know how to use it. Now, different bear sprays work differently. The one I have, you're supposed to spray it on the ground in front of you, and then it rises up. Some of them, you're supposed to spray the air where the bear is. So all of them are going to get you and your dogs. So be ready for that. It's not nice. Once you let that spray go, it's not nice. But hopefully it'll deter the bear. And always report any encounters that are aggressive. So here it's 1-877-952-7277 in my province. And if you're going hiking in bear country, you want to know the number there. What attracts the bears? Well, anything you think is food. Anything you ate, anything you might eat, anything you cooked with, any utensils, the fire pit you used, dirty barbecues, camp stoves, any place you prepared food, the dish rags you wash the dishes with, the scrubbers, the pots, the pans, the gray water, the stuff you rinsed out the dishes with, the garbage, the wrappers, the empty bottles. I know this is extensive. The cans, the condiments, like ketchup, mustard, relish, anything anywhere near food, anything that would be considered food to any creature, containers for gas or oil, other petroleum products, pet food bowls, and pets. So all of that is their food, and they smell it from really far away. They got great noses. So just be really careful. If there's a designated campsite, use it. And if there's a designated garbage or recycling site, use it. And use a bear cache, which is hang your stuff the way you're supposed to. And just be really careful, everybody. I don't want to see you getting hurt. So even toothpaste is considered food to them because it smells like mint. Don't cook near your sleeping bags. Don't ever feed any wildlife, not even the little cute ones. Don't leave food around unattended. There's lockers at campsites you can store food in. And just be really careful out there. All right, we're going to go to a break and come back. What play was interrupted by an unexpected animal actor? And where was that anyway? On Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shore.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. Well, it was a play, a very famous play, none other than Romeo and Juliet. And the final scene, oh so dramatic, is taking place in Turkey, in this giant stadium outdoors, and the people are enthralled and they're ready for the final very, very, very sad and oh, hopelessly romantic, dramatic scene where these two teenagers suffer their love. And what happens? Well, an orange tabby cat walks on the stage and starts preening, hanging out, getting the audience's complete attention. So how'd you like that if you were acting in that show? Well, it's a common thing in Turkey. Not so common that they get on the stage, but common that cats are in the streets. So cats are often owned by a community in Turkey. Dogs don't do as well. There are some rescue societies and some agencies and some governmental things to help dogs, but dogs don't do as well. Dogs aren't really loved the way cats are by the Turkish communities. In Turkey, it's very common for everyone to feed and put water and food out for all the cats in the neighborhood. It's covered by the government to get them sterilized and flea treatments and dewormer and all this kind of stuff. So the cats live a pretty amazing life in the streets of Turkey. And so if I'm reincarnated as a cat, I think I want to go to Turkey. Yep. Not as a dog, though. No. Okay, so I guess today's cat story was the cat riddle of the day and cats in Turkey. I know I've had emails lately saying, please talk more about cats. So there you have it, the cat content for today's Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And now we're going to take this show to the birds. I've got some animal news. There was a police chase that ended. It was in Texas, and they had to chase down these baby ducks that got on a roadway, a highway that hadn't been opened yet. They were totally in the wrong spot. But it's pretty funny to watch. It's funny to watch grown men chase baby ducks, I gotta say. So that's worth looking for. And that was in Houston. And there's another famous duck in the news. And I can't find his name just now. Oh, no. What's the name of that duck? Can't remember. There's a duck in the news, and he's wearing a sweater. And he lives in Mexico City. And he has a pretty big mob following because he's wearing the jersey for the Mexican soccer team. And he works, because he's a working duck, he works alongside his master, who's a lady who runs a drinks cart in Mexico City. And so she walks the streets of Mexico selling drinks, and this duck just waddles behind her all day long in his little jersey, and he's become quite the sensation. All right, everybody, let's go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I bet you want to find that duck. Well, the duck's name is Merlin. And he waddles the streets in Mexico City in his little Mexico jersey, promoting the team for FIFA. So there he is. I love it. Now, ducks bond. Birds in general, they bond to the first person or animal they meet. They bond to their mother and they follow you everywhere. I had a duck like this. It wasn't so cool because I work with dogs. And the duck would fly overhead and try and find me. A different occasion years before that, one of my neighbors thought they had rescued a robin. And then they wanted to go on holiday and they basically handed it over to me. And so then I had this robin that would not leave my side. It would sit on my head. It would sit on my shoulder. I had to feed it bugs. And it was really quite an undertaking. If you see baby birds, don't disturb them because it's most likely their mama is right there waiting for you to leave. So just don't bug them. The rescue agencies are full of baby birds that really needed their parents. But in this case, they'd already taken it away for days. There was no hope of returning it. And I had to adopt it. And then the interesting part for me was every 2 years, three times, this bird came back. And you might say, oh, come on. How do you know it was the same bird? Because the next year I didn't see it at all. I thought, oh, well, it's gone or it grew up or it won't remember me or whatever. And then the next spring, I'm walking dogs and all of a sudden I hear that noise. Because when a bird is about to land on you and it comes out of the forest and it's flying really fast, you hear it before you see it. So I heard that familiar as it's getting louder and louder. It's coming toward me. And I'm thinking, oh no, I hope I don't have any bird dogs with me. And it lands on my head 2 years later and on my shoulder. And then it went away. And 2 years later, again, lands on my head. Now, the last time it came, it didn't actually land on me. It just followed me everywhere I went. So it would land on trees and fences and follow me as I went. And if that was the only sign, I probably wouldn't have even taken it as being the same bird. But when it came back the last time, when it was following me, I could hold my hand out with birdseed and it would take it out of my hand. And none of the other robins around here do that. And I don't train them to do that. So, I mean, it was a pretty big signal that it was still him. 6 years. And I guess they have a 2-year migration or maybe they go somewhere else in between. I don't know. But I never did figure out if it was a boy or a girl. But that's a long life for a wild bird, I think. Anyway, that's my robin story. And I have pictures to prove it of the little guy sitting on my neck all those years ago, looking quite cute. He was adorable. And the reason my neighbor and I even connected on this was it was the neighbor's grown daughter who was taking care of their place while they were on holiday. And she found this bird somewhere and was taking care of it. And she had named it the name Squeak, which happened to be the name of the dog I had back then, a Blue Heeler rescue dog called Squeak. So I heard this lady on the other side of the fence, you know, on a different farm. And I thought, that's weird. Why is she even standing near my fence? Like, why? Go away, lady. Why are you calling my dog standing near my fence? And my dog was just sort of sitting there, cocking her head, looking at the fence, like, why are you calling my name, right? So I came out and I said, excuse me, hello, are you calling my dog? And she said, no, I'm just trying to teach the bird his name. And I was like, what? So that's how that all started. It wasn't really my intention to take on that kind of work. No, not at all. So if you're a panda and you're on lease, somewhere, like, say, Korea. Say you're a pair of pandas, and you're being leased in Korea, and you start having babies, lots of them, four babies, one recently, three before, a set of twins. Who owns the babies? Well, it's not a case of international law because the contract with the lease for the pandas includes the fact that any and all pandas born to the pandas on lease go back to China. But it's still a really big success story for Korea. And I think sometimes climate plays a role. You know, when we have these endangered species that are struggling so much with their numbers and we place different mating pairs in different places and we hope for the best, try as they might in these places, if the climate isn't similar, it doesn't always work so well. So I think in Korea, they've got a few things going for them there that make it possible for these pandas to be so good at making panda babies, which is really important to the panda survival. All right, I guess it was a very good show today, everybody. I was going to do a shout out to some police before we go, because we had those police who chased down the duck, and there was another couple of police incidents I wanted to comment on. In one case on Vancouver Island, police noticed this driver of an automobile acting strange. You know, he was just looking furtively around and suspiciously, and he just kept checking, and they thought, let's pull this guy over. They pull him over, and he's got four stolen pets, and he's got a record for stealing pets. And he's a warrant. He's supposed to go to, you know, all this stuff. He's gone. Bye-bye. So good work, policeman. And the pets have been returned to their owners. I just hate it that people do that. Just hate it. Now, here's another story of, this is the Coast Guard. Well done, Coast Guard. So they get a call that there's a German Shepherd on an inflatable kayak in the ocean, in the Cumberland Sea. Not good. Not good at all. But they find him. And just as they get to him, though, he slips off the kayak because he's so excited to be rescued into the frigid waters in the ocean. And one of the rescuers can't deal with it. He just dives in. He shouldn't have, but he did. And they're all okay. So kudos to him. Now, what was the name of this chill German Shepherd? I mean, it's so fitting. What do you think a dog like that would be called? A dog who gets stuck on a kayak, falls asleep maybe, doesn't get off, hangs out until he's way adrift in the ocean thinking, uh-oh, what kind of name would suit a dog like that? That's not lucky. I mean, that would be, he is lucky, but no, this dog, this German Shepherd kayaking dog who needed to be rescued by the Coast Guard, some police dog he is. He's called Bruce. What a good name. All right, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, an animal party and Pet Life Radio. Ciao, meow. Be good to your animal.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.